Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Help for the Hurting, Part 5. This will be our last installment, a ministry of encouragement. We're going to bring it home today and make it practical. We have talked about fig aprons. The root of our problems is the sin nature. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We then talked about helping by encouraging. True encouragement comes from God. Then the power of encouragement, and today a ministry of encouragement. This speaks to a wide range of people who need encouragement, because at all times, there's always somebody that needs encouraged. There are times we need encouraged, and we certainly have the opportunity to encourage others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul writes this, "Now we exhort you, brethren, born-again people, none are excluded, warn them that are unruly, and here it is, comfort the feeble-minded." There are times we all get feeble-minded, and we encourage each other, and we can help by being encouragers. The world does see the problems correctly, quite often. I don't deny that. They can look at a person and they say, "Well, you have such and such," and I believe that. They gave it a name. But the ultimate answer is in God. I'm not saying that they cannot help to a degree. But the final solution, provided it's not obviously medical, that you may need some medical treatment, is really spirituality. This is really the essence of life. When you deal only with symptoms, you can only get temporary relief. That's why it's so important that we understand, even though they may need some other type of help, ultimately we must encourage people in spirituality. Folks, it's the only thing that's going to last throughout eternity. This world is going to pass away, and everything therein. Several billion people before us have proved that point, right? We're not excluded, and one day it will be our turn. Spirituality, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Very encompassing. Do you have doubts and fears? It didn't come from God. Do you want to conquer it? That comes from God. And we may have all manner of phobias. Did you ever see the list of all the phobias? I remember seeing the list one time. It was like 3 pages long. A blah, blah, phobia, blah, blah, phobia, da, 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 on and on and on. God is not the author of fear. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but rather of power and love and of a sound mind. We have considered earlier, and I want to reiterate, the power and the importance of appropriate words. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, "Heaviness in the heart, the thinking of a man," your thoughts are wrong, "maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Don't ever underestimate the importance and the power of your words to say something nice to someone. Can you think back to times someone has said something to you in a time of need? I shared before, I have an aunt that one time said something to me as a boy. I will never forget those words. Never. Proverbs 16:24, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Literally, it can have an effect on your physical being. Pleasant words to your soul, spiritually and physically. Did you know that encouragement is a vital part of your Christian life? You should be an encourager as a Christian. Don't walk around with a cloud over your head and it's always raining. Rather, we're children of the King. We have great and exceeding blessings. We have an eternal future in glory with God. What do you have to mope about? Well, as we think about encouragers, consider. A young woman who was worried about her habit of chewing her fingernails down to the quick was advised by a friend to take up yoga to ease her nervousness. She did, and soon her fingernails were growing normally. One day her friend stopped her, noticing her long, well-groomed nails, asked her if yoga had totally cured her nervousness. She said, "No, but now I can reach my toenails and I chew them instead." So you see the importance of encouragement. Well, let's start this as we think about a practical application of encouraging. How about why do we have problems as Christians? Well, the truth is, there's a lot of times we get into a problem and we ask the golden question, why? Why did I lose my job? Why didn't I get that job? Why do I have these health issues? Why was my childhood as it was? Why didn't I get a better opportunity for education? Why? On and on and on, whatever your problem is. Well, the truth is we suffer for a variety of reasons, but one of the great reasons why we suffer is so that we are better equipped to help encourage other people when they suffer. Did you know that? I want to show it to you right from the Scriptures. Consider the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Here it is, verse 4, that God who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We experience it, pass it on. Let's continue verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. For whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. Did you suffer? You can encourage. You can say, in essence, I have an appreciation of what you're going through. Now, we never fully understand what someone is going through. But if you have suffered such and such, you are better equipped to go talk to someone who's going through that same problem. That doesn't mean that if we have not been through it, we can't help to encourage. But you may not truly be able to encourage as you would if you had gone through it. Rather than complain about our trials, let's learn from our trials. God is always up to something good. Take this and pass it on to others. Blessed be even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Now, I don't claim to be an expert in the pagan gods of old, but to my understanding, they did not have a God of comfort. They had a God of the sea, the God of the fire, the God of this, the God of that, the God of this, the God of that, but I don't know, in my studies, I've never seen that they had the God of comfort. We have the God who's the God of everything, including comfort. Paul in the Bible had a friend, companion, Barnabas, who was known as a great encourager. Acts chapter 4, verse 36, we have telling of Barnabas and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or encouragement. The apostles gave him that name because that's what they saw in him. They saw an attribute, and it says the apostles surnamed him Barnabas. That's amazing. Let me quote. In the Bible, the man named Barnabas is known as the son of encouragement or consolation. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you will see here a major section of encouragement. The terms comfort and consolation are based on the word parakletos, which appears 10 times in the first 9 verses. It strongly suggests the ministry of encouragement. Let's look at it. Look again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, start at verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all parakletos, in that word, comfort. Verse 4, who comforts, number 2, in all our tribulation, that we may be able to, number 3, comfort them which are in any trouble, that by the comfort, number four, that we may ourselves are also comforted, five. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, comfort, number 6, who also abounds by Christ, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, number 7, and salvation. It is the effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, and whether we be, number 8, comforted, it is for your, number 9, consolation. And it says, verse 7, and our hope is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so you shall also be of the consolation, comfort. Among the duties that every Christian should embrace, it's the privilege to minister encouragement to others. This ministry gives support, offers hope, and persuades in the doing of right things. It can take many forms of expressions, but its one objective is to motivate and stimulate the person to whom it is given. Sometimes we think encouragement is positive thinking exercise, but that imposes a severe limitation. The full and complete picture of ministry should be a multifaceted one. It's not just positive thinking, it's thinking of God and all of His goodness. It is important to have a positive outlook on life, but it's also important that our positive outlook on life is because of God, not just because we have a crossed fingers hope that things will be okay. Barnabas was an encourager. Paul told us to be encouragers. Praying is certainly a good way to help others, but many times we're to put legs on our prayers. And so it is, let us consider some things that an encourager does and is. Number one, an encourager applies himself to be present. You cannot encourage somebody if you're not in proximity. Let me give you a very real-life situation that occurred as we were beginning this church 11 years ago. Obviously, we had next to nothing. It was my wife and I. And we started at Trafalgar Middle School, and people would come to church with children, and they would say, well, it's a nice church, but we won't come back because you don't have anything for the kids. Well, I can't do anything with kids if I don't have any kids. Did you think you could maybe stay? And maybe you could encourage others to stay with kids and we could get something going? No, they didn't think that way. That's okay. But do you see how just by simply showing up and maybe bringing your kids, we could have started to do more things and more things? Do you, what an encouragement it would have been to me? Instead of saying, you don't have anything for kids, well, it's tough to start when you don't have. You got to be present to encourage somebody. So it is, when you are looking to help somebody, you got to be there. Now, I understand you can't always be physically there. How about a telephone call? How about a little card to maybe someone? I can think of a dear lady who doesn't have much, and she has taken on a ministry of writing little cards, thinking of you, or thinking of you especially at this time. Or maybe some other form of communication today, all sorts of ways to communicate with people. Your presence, your card, maybe there's nothing really to be said. Sometimes just your presence to know that you're praying, you're being prayed for, can be a blessing. Doesn't always have to be a long dissertation. I don't know what to say. Who does? Who does? Many times we don't know what to say. Ask God for wisdom. Try to comfort someone. Number two, an encourager notices when someone's in need. Let me read this anecdote. Jesse Owens should have aced the long jump in the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin. The record he'd set the year before, 26 feet, 8 1/4 inches, would stand for 25 years. But the Nazis were out to prove Aryan superiority. As the black sharecropper's son walked to the pit, he saw a tall, blonde German taking practice jumps in the 26-foot range and grew nervous. On his first jump, he leaped from inches beyond the takeoff board. Rattled, he fouled on the second attempt, too. Then the tall German approached Owens and introduced himself as Luz Long. Long suggested that since the qualifying distance was only 23 feet, 5 inches, he played it safe on his last try by making a mark several inches before the takeoff board and jumping from there. Owens qualified easily, set an Olympic record, and earned the second of 4 gold medals. The first to congratulate Owens was Long, in full view of Adolf Hitler. Owens wrote, quote, "You could melt down all the medals and cups I have, and they wouldn't be plating on the 24-carat friendship I felt for Luz Long." Owens was a great athlete, and he needed encouragement, and in his time of need, Luz Long noticed, and even in the midst of competition, he encouraged the man. Do you take notice when people need encouragement and then do something about it? Every person you pass, without exception, is carrying some form of a burden. Period. Every car you drive past down the road, somebody has a burden. There's no lack for a ministry of encouraging. Let us take notice and help. I don't know what's going to befall. God knows. But He makes no mistakes. Number three, an encourager fills a need. People can get discouraged because they have a need. I need transportation. I need some finances. I need a visit. I need help cleaning. I need yard work. I need a kind word. I need something. And these are all opportunities for an encourager to render some very real help. Would you like me to take you to your doctor's appointment? Would you like me to help you to do such and such? Can I bring over some groceries? Can I sit and talk with you? Whatever it may be, you fulfill a need. And to fulfill a need, the encourager, number one, has to note the need, but number two, put aside your life to help that person. Preferring others, is this not a biblical principle? And we set aside our needs to attend to the needs of others because God has blessed us. Let us use our blessings for other people. And folks, we are so blessed in the United States. I would encourage all of you, if you ever get a chance, travel. Travel. It opens your eyes. We are spoiled tremendously in this land. We have blessings beyond measure. And we need to use those for other people. So let us apply ourselves to fill the need of another. Number four, an encourager is faithful. He's faithful to God and duty in the midst of his own trials. Encouragers carry trials. Well, I can't encourage right now because I have a problem. I'm not doubting you have a problem. I'm not doubting that you need some encouragement, but still, try to come out of your shell and focus on others. Look where you can help. And yes, you probably do need some help because everybody needs encouragement at times. But don't become so self-focused that you fail to miss the whole point that you could help others by the trial you're going through. Be faithful to the duty and the responsibilities that God has called you to. Did you ever also stop and think what an encouragement it is when you see somebody else that's faithful, they're carrying a burden, and in the midst of their burden and in the midst of their faithfulness, they're serving and helping others. They're not quitting. They're looking beyond their own problems and they're helping somebody else. Do you not think that that will have a special blessing and encouragement? Did you ever have somebody help you and then later find out, did you know the burden that they were carrying and they were still helping? And you look back and you say, really? I had no idea. People watch your behavior as you suffer and you stay faithful and your testimony can be very, very powerful and encouraging to others who are struggling. Five, the encourager promotes righteousness. You see, we are nothing more than a tool in the hand of God. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's all about God. And the truth is, without me, you can do nothing, Christ said to the apostles. And he's so true. There is nothing, spiritually speaking, we can do. We can obviously walk and talk and on. But when it comes to truly doing spiritual things, it can only be done through the power of God. And we must never forget that we're only a tool in the hand of God. We are a signpost saying, go that way. We can draw nigh unto someone and encourage them to go that way, but ultimately, they have to go that way. And you can't grab them by the lapels and shake. It doesn't do any good. No, I have not tried it. We are signposts for, as we already read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, we are helpers and tools of the God of all comfort. And He uses Christians to help others. Consider A party of pioneers on the Oregon Trail had suffered for weeks from a scarcity of water and grass for their animals. Most of the wagons had broken down, causing endless delays in the stifling heat. A feeling of fretfulness and futility prevailed. Optimism and cheer were gone. Courage was in limited supply. One night, the leaders called a meeting to air complaints. When they had gathered around the campfire, one man stood up and said, "Before we commence our grief session, don't you think we should at least first thank God that He has brought us thus far with no loss of life, with no serious trouble from the Indians, and that we have enough strength left to finish our journey?" The other settlers agreed. After the brief prayer, all that could be heard was the cries of the distant pack of wolves. There was otherwise stone silence around the campfire, because no one had any grievances they had felt were important enough to voice. They suddenly realized if they couldn't be satisfied with what they'd received, they could at least be thankful for what they'd escaped. Thankfulness enabled them to see the mercies of God they had been overlooking. Consider that in light of Psalm 66:12. Thou, God, has caused men to ride over our heads. He didn't deny there were problems. We went through fire and through water. There are certainly problems in life, but listen, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. In spite of all that we've gone through, we read that. But wait till it's us. And then we need to remember God brought us into a wealthy place. So it is. An encourager promotes righteousness, especially in the midst of hardships. Number 6, an encourager is a true friend. When you read the story of David in 1 Samuel, and he has been chased around the countryside by King Saul, trying to take his life, David was encouraged by his friend, Jonathan, the king's son. Jonathan couldn't stop the problem, but Jonathan could encourage David. "Hang in there, David. You're God's man." Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." The importance of a friend to be there. Because there are times we all stumble. Quote, "A friend is invaluable if we stumble or fall in the path of life. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth." Brethren, says the apostle, "if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let us watch for each other's souls. If any is falling away from the truth or into some insidious trap, lift him up." Friendship ought to make our spirits glow. How can one be warm alone? Of course, in a spiritual sense, these are divine sources of caloric. The love of Christ kindles to vehement heat. It is certainly easier to keep up the temperature when we've kindled a heart beside us. Perhaps this was one reason why our Lord sent forth His disciples two by two, as we see in Mark chapter 6, verse 7. He called the 12 and He began to send them forth two by two. They could encourage each other. Without companionship, material things cannot satisfy. The ties of nature, friendship, and religious communion give a zest to a poor man's life, which the miser with all his wealth forfeits. It is all important not only in ordinary life, but preeminently in the pilgrimage of the Spirit, to have fellowship with some kindred soul. In temptation, a true friend makes us more able to withstand the devil. It is a real help in the hour of trial to have a friend who will appropriate the words of our Lord, saying, "I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." There is no fellowship like that of Jesus, our faithful friend, who lifts us when we fall, chafes us when chilled with cold, and succors us against the tempter. Does He not make the third in the threefold cord, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them, Matthew 18:20. The importance of a friend. Are you a friend? Do you have friends? To have friends, you show yourself friendly. Don't look for friends. Be a friend. you'll find friends. Number 7, an encourager points to a bright future with God. Looking beyond this life is vital to overcoming hardships. I have said it many times, you don't remodel your hotel room on vacation because you're not staying there. You keep it neat and tidy, but you are going to leave it and go home someday. Folks, let us not be remodeling our hotel rooms here in this life. Let us be looking forward to the home beyond. This is all going to burn up and pass. A testimony is important. We must maintain a nice home, a nice lifestyle, and on, but remember, there's something far more important. One day we're all out of here. And only what was done for Christ will last. An encourager points to a bright future with God. God does not deny and want us to live in denial that we don't have hardships. But He promises to be with us. Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me." And so it is. God is with us now and into all eternity. It is imperative that we never lose sight of the fact of that God is with us all the time. And He promises His children the glories of eternal heaven. Thus, an encourager focuses beyond this life. Philippians 3:13. "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it." In other words, I am not a spiritual perfection. I have a long way to go, but this one thing I do, Paul says, "Forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Look beyond it. Have you stumbled and made a mess of the past? Okay, who doesn't have things in their past that they wish weren't there? We all do. But don't look back. Move forward and encourage others. Move forward. Chin up, shoulders back. If God has forgiven you and God has chosen to not remember your sin, who are you to remember your sin? Quote, "Always stand at the bow. Let the stern with its backward look and make for the bow. To spend time in sad review of past sins and failures is not to put them to the best account. Confess them and believe that for Christ's sake they are absolutely forgiven. Failure often provides the material for success, and our dead selves may become the stepping stones to better things. Did not our Lord say to His disciples, 'Sleep on now and take your rest'? The past is irreparable, but immediately He added, 'Arise! Let us be going, because the future is available.' Therefore, leave the stern with its backward look and make for the bow. True, the sky before us may be dark with storm clouds. The weather prophets say that the world is shedding its old sanction without replacing them with better ones, that 7 civilizations have already passed, and we are to see the death of the 8th. Be it so, but they forget that God holds the stormy waters in the hollow of His hand, that Jesus walked the threatening billows to succor His friends. They forgot that when the earth was without form and void, the Spirit of God brooded in the chaos and darkness, creating the heavens and the earth. They cannot detect the voice of the Creator saying, 'Behold, I make all things new.' Out of the chaos is born the cosmos. Each age ends in travail, out of which a new age is born. Look out to the vast circle of the horizon and prepare for the new lands to be explored, the wonderful discoveries that await us, the great missions hidden in the future which are waiting to be fulfilled. Never doubt that the clouds will break. Never dream that wrong will triumph. Never count yourself God forsaken or forgotten. The Master may seem to be asleep on His pillow, oblivious and uncaring, but His hand is on the helm. He guides your course. He rules the waves, and they obey Him. Let us look forward to a bright future. Nothing is impossible for God." Number 8, an encourager guards his personal walk with the Lord. If the encourager falters in his own Christian life, he's got several problems. He won't have the testimony that he ought, and it kind of weakens his words. Really? Do you live what you say? do you profess but not live? Thus you will not have the power of God to be effective. A ministry of encouragement or any ministry is stifled when you do not have a personal, healthy walk with God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And without Christ, you can do nothing. We must have a personal walk with Christ in any ministry, but let's focus on encouragement. How do you encourage when you have a healthy walk with God? It empowers you to have wisdom to see the need. It empowers you to give the words needed. It empowers you to have opportunities to encourage, and it provides you the resources to encourage. Watch your personal walk with God if you're going to help others. Well, God wants all believers to be channels of His comfort. Thus, we've considered now a ministry of encouragement. Number one, an encourager applies himself to be present. An encourager helps others in times of need. Number three, an encourager fills a need. Number four, an encourager is faithful. Number five, the encourager promotes righteousness. Number six, an encourager is a true friend. Number seven, an encourager points to a bright future with God. Number eight, an encourager guards his personal walk with the Lord. Consider this simple yet profound quote. People have a way of becoming what you encourage them to be, not what you nag them to be. Don't nag. Encourage. Learn to be an encourager. And I want to put this also kind of a last point. As an encourager, don't be played for a fool. Some people are addicted to being encouraged, and they never learn to walk on their own, and they drain you of your resources. Don't let that happen. Let them know it's time for you to grow up and start to walk, and you need to start helping other people. And sometimes people get addicted to recovery. Don't let that be. They'll drain you of your resources and your walk with the Lord and your ability to help others. Well, as you know, most of you, encouragement begins at salvation. How do you encourage someone who doesn't know the Lord? There is no real encouragement until they know that the future is bright. You can tell a Christian the future is bright and they have a good understanding why. Tell an unsaved person, why should I look forward to a bright future? And understandably so. They ought not to look forward to a glorious future. They need to have their spiritual eyes opened, and they need to realize truth. John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, Jesus Christ is ready to ascend into heaven after the crucifixion, and the Holy Spirit will come down, and He is telling the disciples this, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth. Not some truth, all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Only when this person has the Holy Spirit can they truly appreciate comfort. It all begins when they realize that they're dead in trespasses and sin. And you share the gospel. This is one of the greatest points of encouraging someone. They may not even understand, why are you starting here? What's that got to do with my problem? I've seen that throughout the years. I've had couples come into my office and they are like cat and dog. And I start with the gospel. And they look at me like I'm crazy. You have to start at the beginning. And once you know Christ as your Savior, you have a Holy Spirit which will guide you into all truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Let that hand represent you, me, and every person. Let this represent sin. God loves you. He hates the sin. There's nothing that you can do in your flesh to get rid of this sin debt. It weighs you down and it will lead you to an eternal hell. But God is not willing that any should perish because He loves the sinner. He hates the sin. And He has provided the only way possible for us to get rid of this sin debt. It's not in your good works. It's in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. He took your sin, my sin, and the sin of the world. He was put in the tomb. After 3 days and three nights, he rose again, paid in full. How do you appropriate this incredible gift? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I got a sin debt, and I can't satisfy it in anything that I do. My flesh is weak, and it's woefully inadequate to do anything to pay for this sin debt. And I realize God sent His Son. That was God on the cross. He paid your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. That's my sin. I get it. He rose again. Death couldn't hold Him. He conquered death. And when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I get it. It's what He did. It's not what I do. It's what He did. That saves my soul for all eternity. For God so loved the world, that's you, but He hates your sin. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever, that's whatever sinner, believes in Him and His work of redemption. Do you believe? You shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe and you are saved. It doesn't say believe and be water baptized, believe and walk in aisle, believe and do. Whosoever believeth shall not perish. Do you believe Jesus paid your sin debt and that's all you need? That moment, God knows your thoughts. You're born again. It's the greatest encouragement anybody could ever give you.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.